Today on Real Radio.
The beautiful thing is it says right here in verse 14 that the wall has been broken down. And the picture that this paints is fantastic. He's taken two, they were separate. He's made them one by the power and the blood of the cross. And he's taken that warning sign and has thrown it down. And the picture that's painted is that there's a river of Gentiles and Jews no longer separated, arm in arm, running over those blocks that said such a horrible warning. They're just running right over it into the presence of God. I like that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been going through this letter written by Paul verse by verse. We're also in a series of studies that reveals one of the greatest of benefits to the believer in Messiah, having access to God. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This word peace, if any of you have the name Irene, that's the name of the word in Greek, Irene. Isn't that neat? This is what it means. For he himself is our Irene, our emphatic, strong, deep quietness of the soul, a deep rest and hope. That's who Jesus is to us who believe. Wow, I need that. I need that now. Ephesians 6:15 tells us that we are to have our feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of Irene, peace. We are to go out around the world and we are to give out peace by the gospel of God. It's absolutely amazing to me that we can stand and open the Bible and we can do it out on the street corner right out here, or we can do it on a street corner around the world, and I can't explain it. None of us can explain it, how you can talk to somebody and be speaking to them and you've got to, first of all, as a human being, get past their countenance. Their face. And that happened this last week. I remember seeing this guy and he looked pretty stern. But let's just go for it anyway, you know? And all of us have this face that we wear, this face that we have. Some of us have been stuck with this face and there's nothing that we can do about it. And we so often just say, well, hey, I'm doing great. How are you? Oh, just great. And we just lie right straight through our teeth. You know, great. And you walk away and you start crying. You know, saw this man in Russia and he's standing listening and his face is stern looking. And I still to this moment don't understand what happened. But we started talking to him, and he had some questions. It sounded like he wanted to fight, but he just wanted some answers. And we were going along and going back and forth. He was a beautiful man. I think his name was Victor, a well-groomed guy, probably 60-something years old. And then we were talking and talking. And I don't remember how the dialogue went, but it came down to the fact that access to God was through Jesus Christ alone, and that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that he loves you. And that's what he had to hear. And he just stopped the conversation right there. Thank you very much. And he walked away. And it was so strange because usually when people walk away from that kind of encounter, it's like they're giving up on you and up on the gospel and they're walking away. And not this man. Something happened. Did he get born again? I don't know. I don't think so. Is he going to get saved? I don't know. Something just happened in that moment where he had a change on his face and he walked away. It was so sudden. He didn't bow his head and close his eyes while the bus waited and accepted in the thousands came forward. It wasn't that kind of a thing. I don't know what happened to him. But something happened. And his face had changed. Was he saved? I don't know. But how is it that we can give black and white printed words off of a book that changes the lives of people around the world and in our own homes and in our lives? It's unbelievable. Jesus himself is our peace. Do you have so much peace? Have you had somebody ever say, I've got so much peace, I can't handle any more peace? Oh, I'm so full of God's love. Please, God, don't give me any more love. I can't love any more than... Man, listen, we need his peace. And the reason why we are so often depleted in our peace department is because we haven't spent the time with him that we need to spend with him. He's our peace. Do we know it? Do we understand that? We need to experience it and live it. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says this. Man, is this a great verse for us? We should have this on our bumpers of our cars. He says, be anxious for nothing. How'd you like to have that on the 55 freeway at 6 o'clock? Isn't that great? Be anxious for nothing. That's enough to just send you to the grave right there, driving on the freeway. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the Irene, same word, peace, the deep, strong quietness of the soul will come of God to you, which surpasses all understanding. You can't comprehend it. Just a peace that is so deep. And by the way, he says in verse 7, it will guard your heart and your mind through Christ. Peace. Jesus is our peace. Back at Calvary in the olden days, I don't know if they sing it anymore. Pastor Chuck would come up there, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but Pastor Chuck would go, he is our peace. Remember that voice of his, you know? And it's, man, he's our peace who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is our peace. You know, and Chuck being the guy that he is and smiling all over you, and you just want to jump up in his arms and say, okay, peace. He's our peace. And that song, by the way, is coming from this text that we're looking at tonight. For he is Jesus. He is our peace. We have access to God because Jesus is our peace. He has made both one, it says here, and he has broken down the middle wall, verse 14, of division between us. And he's talking about Jew and Gentile now, the wall that separated the Gentiles from the Jews. We're talking about fellowship. And this is tremendous. Get a load of this. In 1897 and in 1934, two archaeological expeditions uncovered the platelets that had an inscription, two of them. One of them tonight is in the Museum of Antiquity in Istanbul, and the other one is in the Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem. You can go see it. A couple hours. You can get on an airplane tonight and go see the thing if you don't believe it. That was suspended there in Jerusalem that Paul was talking about right here in your Bible on your lap. The Wall of Division. And they found it. And it was written on both sides. And I wrote it down somewhere, and I forgot where I wrote it. Here, right here, literal stone of division. Listen to this. This is a quote. This is what it says. No Gentile may pass beyond the barricade that surrounds the sanctuary and this enclosure. Anyone who does so shall be responsible for his own swift death. Love. You know. How would that make you feel? How would you feel about that? You're a Gentile. You've heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You want to come and worship him, and there's this sign that says, you pass this line as a Gentile, and you're going to bleed. Eesh. So you know what they did? Literally, Josephus tells us, an eyewitness, a non-believer historian, he said they would get right to the line. The Gentiles who longed for God would get right to the line and they would just kind of look in there. You ever seen kids like you drive by Disneyland and you're not going there that day? And they just look. And they're just looking out the window. You just go by. Their noses are pressed against the window. It's really a sad sight. The Gentiles are like this, wanting to know him. And there's this wall. And the beautiful thing is, it says right here in verse 14 that the wall has been broken down. And the picture that this paints is fantastic. He's taken two, they were separate. He's made them one by the power and the blood of the cross. And he's taken that warning sign and has thrown it down. And the picture that's painted is that there's a river of Gentiles and Jews, no longer separated, arm in arm, running over those blocks that said such a horrible warning. They're just running right over it into the presence of God. I like that. Like a stampede. There's this oneness now that we have in the Lord. Paul is saying the barricade's down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Jot it down in your notes. A great verse. We may have some Catholics visiting tonight. I want you to listen to this verse very carefully. Very carefully. And if it upsets you, I didn't write the book. So you'll have to take this up with the Lord. But listen carefully, please. You're not to come to me to confess your sin. You're not to go to Billy Graham to confess his sin or John Paul to confess your sin, according to the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus." The book of Hebrews is dedicated to us coming to God through Jesus Christ alone. In fact, the Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10 warns us that if we're confessing to anyone else other than Christ, our sins are still upon us. For we do not have the power to take away nor deal with your sin. That's a tremendous statement. But that is how powerful Christ's sacrifice has been for us. He's done this great work. I was blessed by this week and the reminder of this verse. Listen to this. Jot it down if you want. Listen to it carefully, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know," that is, it's experience, it's knowledge to you, "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." These are things that are known. This is known to the believer. I find it interesting that in Ephesians 2, 3, we read it and studied it a couple of weeks ago, that among us it says, we all once conducted our lives in the lust of our flesh, that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Talk to this man this week. He was standing there and he was a punk rocker kind of, I guess a punk rocker. He was all in leather. He had earrings everywhere, nose rings. And I saw this guy, he scared me, so I figured God must want me to talk to him because he scared me. So there's this translator, Olga, and I grabbed her and I said, "Let's talk to this guy." And I said, "You know, we're going to invite you tonight to come. We're going to talk about evolution and creation. Will you come tonight?" And he says, "I'm an evolutionist. I don't believe in God." And I asked a question that every four-year-old asks. "Why? What? Why? Why do you believe in evolution? It's not even true." He says, "Why? What do you mean?" I said, "Well, it's not true." He said, "Well, how do you know?" I said, "Because God's real. It's either one or the other." He says, "Well, I believe in evolution." So watch this. And this is really exciting for me. I had a good time with this. He said, when I asked him, "Have you ever done anything wrong?" "Yeah." "Well, how do you know that?" "Believe me, I know." "Have you ever sinned?" "Yep." "Well, I thought you're an evolutionist. I am. So wait a minute, buddy. If you're an evolutionist, you can't sin. If you're an evolutionist, you've never done anything wrong. He says, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you're an evolutionist and you're a byproduct of Darwinianism, you're nothing but an animal thing here standing in front of me. You're just an animal. So how can you do something wrong if you're just an animal? He said, well, I haven't thought about that. I said, you know, just a moment ago, you said you're a sinner. Yeah, I've sinned. Sinned against who or what? I said, you sinned against Darwin? Darwin said you came, I mean, you know, your uncle was a monkey, and it's true. That's what the story is. And I said, you are standing here, and you've crawled out of a primordial mud hole, and now you're standing here with a leather jacket on and earrings and this bandana tied to your head, and you're a byproduct of evolution, and you're trying to convince me that I'm supposed to believe that you've done something wrong. You're telling me you're an animal. If there's no God, how can you have sinned? And he says, I've never thought about that. Are you guilty? Yeah. Then you've just proved God exists. He said, I never thought about that. I said, so what is it? Are you an evolutionist, or do you believe in the existence of God? He says, well, I believe in the existence of God, I guess. Isn't that weird? Think about it. If you've crawled out of a mud hole, then why do you feel bad when you do something wrong? If you've crawled out of a mud hole, you should be glad that you just put the other guy down, because remember, Darwin taught us it's the survival of the fittest. So if I can beat you up, evolution's true and I'm better and, you know, my family and we're going to sprout wings and fly next or whatever the next big deal is. We have to ask Shirley MacLaine. She's the one that's big on this thing. You know, they're telling us that the next big leap of evolution is going to happen. Not slowly. It's going to explode on the scene. I mean, they're waiting. Any moment, we are going to get smart. That's what she's saying. And Spangler and all these other guys. Listen, we have sinned. Jesus has come, and he's not only broken down the wall of division that separated us from God, but he's made us acceptable by his sacrifice. He has forgiven us of our sins. And you might be sitting here tonight and you say, my sins are so big, there's no way. And yeah, there's a way. God's blood was shed on the cross for you. It wasn't man's blood. It was God's blood. And we have access. It's now available to us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, 1 John 1, 3 says, John says, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, we declare it to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Hey, come on in. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that you might have joy and that it might be full. Isn't that neat? I got a letter last week from somebody who got our tape somewhere, and they said, is it really true? You had mentioned on a tape that if a prostitute was dropped off on the street corner and she came in with nothing on, that Calvary Chapel would allow her in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it true? It's true. I'm sure that I would take my shirt off to put on her when she sat down, but it is true. It's what Jesus would have done. It's what he did. By going to the cross, he broke the wall down that divided for thousands of years the access to God. So how did he do this? Look what it says. In verse 15, it says, having abolished. This is a fantastic word, abolished. The word means to absolutely satisfy or to completely render no longer powerful. Think of a debt that you might have. Jack, don't remind me. But think of a debt that you have. To abolish that debt, somebody would step in and satisfy the demand. Do you owe somebody something? Someone steps in and satisfies the debt. And then think about this. The next day, a letter comes certified to your door and they're like suing you. But the debt was paid yesterday and the letter comes. Are you going to freak out over that letter? No. In fact, you're just going to say, return to sender. You know, on it. Nah, 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 nah. It's been paid. Debt canceled, abolished. The demand of the law was satisfied in Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. It was completed. To abolish this, he abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity is the separation that we experienced with God. Before we came to Jesus Christ, what were we doing? We were running away from God. We were doing our own thing. We were at war with God. Jesus in his flesh, first of all, abolished that. Listen, it means by his flesh, the years that he lived upon earth, he was sinless. This is why this is important, the doctrine of this vicarious atonement of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ. Listen, if Jesus was not sinless, you and I are going to hell. You hear that? If he was not sinless, you and I are going to hell. Because of his perfection, we're going to heaven. In his flesh, Jesus fulfilled all of the requirements of the law. The 613 requirements listed. He fulfilled them. In his flesh, he performed it. He met the demands in his flesh. Then he went to the cross and shed his blood for our, listen, our not meeting the demands. He had to be the perfect lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You understand? It's both. It's both. His perfect performance as a human being, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, and his innocent blood allowed us access.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. It's part of a mini-series called Having Access to God. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us for that. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that he is an historic figure. He walked the earth around 2,000 years ago and had been awaited for thousands of years before that. So to help you better understand more about history's most influential figure, you should take advantage of our current offer. It's Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, its political climate, even the way in which those awaiting Messiah's arrival thought, and so on. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us by calling, clicking, or writing, just ask for it by title, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.